FJ Campbell, welcome to The Reverse Stick.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here talking to you from the other side of the world.
It's a pleasure to have you with us, FJ. Normally when we're talking to interviewee subjects on this show, we have a scoreline to talk about or we've got a tournament coming up that we can discuss. But this time it's a little bit different because we're talking about a book, and it's your book, No Number 9.
Yeah.
Now, what was the inspiration for writing this book?
Well, I guess, as they say, you write about things that you know, but I don't have a particularly exciting life, so I just took a couple of incidents that have happened in my life and just made them a load more exciting, just made up a whole load of stuff. And those two incidents were when I was younger. I was an au pair, and I got fired from that job, by the way. And I also visited Sydney for the Olympics in 2000.
Were you
so here? I just kind of I built a story around those two incidents, and then basically all the rest of it is completely made up.
So were you here for the Olympics as a spectator or as a an athlete?
I am not an Olympic athlete. I'm a social level hockey player. And I always have been. I've had friends who've played at much higher levels, but I was there in Sydney watching GB men and women playing hockey. I also went to rowing because that was when Steve Redgrave was rowing. I went to beach volleyball at Bondi. What else did I see? A bit of tennis and a bit of athletics.
Oh, you got the whole Olympic experience in.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was a bunch of friends and me. Some of them were Australian, some of them were British, and we just went out and had a great time.
Now, No Number 9 is a story of a young girl who's had a recent tragedy in her life. You could say she's trying to escape that tragedy, and she finds herself in Germany, and she finds herself in the middle of a hockey family. Now, I don't want to give too much away as far as the story goes, because I really think people should read the book. But hockey is not just a vehicle for the story, it's an intrinsic part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. There's a bit at the end, and I won't give it away either, but there's a bit at the end where somebody suggests that the story could be transported into another kind of sport, that it could be written as a story with another sport in another setting. But I'm not sure that's true. I think that the way that the hockey community and the hockey family works is very important to this story. And I can't give too much away, but it's just that feeling that you get when you play hockey and your friends and the parties you go to and the way that everyone is so friendly and welcoming to you when you move around the world within the hockey family, that was very important to the book.
And while it does certainly touch on international hockey and there's some characters drawn from that world, it's certainly the focus is the club, and the club being the hub of all of this.
Yeah. The club in Munich, which is, by the way, a completely made-up club. I have played club hockey in Munich, but I kind of amalgamated all the different clubs that I knew in Munich. It needed to be somewhere that was really welcoming and friendly to the main character, and a place where she could go to almost find herself again, to get over her grief, and to just realize that she was her own person who people wanted to know, and not just in the shadow of this terrible thing that's happened to her.
Now, speaking of this terrible thing, once again, without giving too much away, it is something that hockey people could very much relate to. And as I was read it, it was funny because at the moment you come to the whole tragedy part of it, it was a little tear came out, I must admit. It comes up and shocks you in a way.
Yeah. I made myself cry when I was writing as well. And these stories always make me very, very emotional and very upset. I must say, to be quite honest, I was struggling with whether the sad thing that happens should be so directly related to hockey or whether it should be a different kind of accident, nothing to do with hockey. And it was a plot line that I I didn't really know what to do with for a long, long time, and then I made a decision. And it's really upsetting, and but it is just a story, and it's just a part of the plot of the book. And I hope, this is what I was aiming for anyway, I hope that in all, the book is quite uplifting and quite a happy story, even though it does have this terrible thing that happens at the beginning.
I think that adds to it as well, because in the back of your mind, you know it's not just something made up by an author. It's, this could really happen. It could be a true story.
Yeah. I didn't base it on anything that has happened in real life. I could never do that. I could never be that insensitive. There are injuries in hockey. There are bad injuries in hockey. And this sort of thing happens very, very rarely, thank goodness. And I never really wanted it to be a huge part of the book.
Now, there's the hockey side of things, but of course, a novel's not just one-sided in any way, shape or form. You've got a lot of other themes working through the book, and the main character, Philippa Mitchell, which she's known as Pip throughout the book, she has had a tragic loss. She's run away, and the themes are encompassing love and relationships and grief and how people respond to grief. They're very strong throughout the book.
Yeah, I mean, she's an interesting character, because she's when the bad thing happened to her, she basically just kind of stopped living for 2 years and hid herself away and forgot to do anything except for go to school. She lost all her friends, and I think that the important thing for her is that the story begins when she decides to go and do something and get back her life, which the hockey club and the friendships that she makes at the hockey club helps her do. But for me, anyway, I had quite a sheltered teenage life. And I do remember this feeling of when I was 18, of leaving home and just feeling like I was just really behind everyone else, not as cool as anyone else. I didn't know what kind of music or films I should watch or books I should be reading and talking about. And I just didn't feel like I was 18. I felt like I was 14 still. And I really wanted to get that across with Pip, because she is a very naive and innocent girl, and she quickly learns about how to be a grown-up or to pretend to be a grown-up in the course of the book.
You mentioned earlier, you know, writers write what they know. How much of Pip's character is autobiographical, or is it more the feelings rather than actual events?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you've got to kind of you've got to use your own experiences to write from it, but she's not me. I mean, I'm not half as pretty as she is. I didn't ever date an important hockey player like she did. Oh, don't give it away. I didn't have lots of the experiences that she had. She's not me.
Do you feel a little bit jealous that she's not you?
No, I mean, like I said at the beginning, you have your life and you love your life and you don't have any regrets. I just wanted to make an exciting story, and I think that with a character like Pip, you can do it, because she's got this sadness to her. She's also very pretty. She doesn't know it. And she's just a nice person, a kind person who's had a bit of a rough life in lots of ways. So I thought she was interesting, and you can't say that she's me or she's not me. Of course, there are bits of me in her. There are also bits of people that I know, but that's how it works, I think.
Now, there's other themes running through the book as well. One that perhaps is buried a little bit, but the selfish nature of elite sport. A few of these characters, especially at the end, once again, try not to give it. There's a conversation between Pip and another character, and where they're trying to explain a misdeed away, and their focus had been somewhere else, and this somewhere else is an elite level of sport. And throughout the book, the characters are ignoring things in their lives with this focus on the elite sport that they're playing.
Yeah, good summary without giving the plot away. You know what, hockey is, it can take over your life, even if you're not an elite sports player. It can take over your life, and that in a good way. You know, the social element of it, the travelling, we all know about the training, the 3 times a week, the tournaments in the middle of nowhere. It's brilliant, it's lovely. And for elite sportsmen and women, it must be 1,000 times more commitment, and then 1,000 times more when there's an Olympics coming up. So yeah, I mean, I wanted to get across that some of these characters have got bigger priorities than just their personal lives. In fact, somebody says in it, I don't have a personal life. I hope I portrayed that well without ever having been in the situation of being an elite sports person myself. But yeah, I mean, that's what hockey's all about, and we do it for the love of the sport. Nobody really does it for money, do they?
I'm not sure these days, but I think we get into it for our love of sport, that's for sure. Certainly no one's playing hockey for money at the elite level.
Exactly, yeah. So that was a big element of some of the characters.
Now, what's the target audience for this book? I'm a 50-year-old man. I quite enjoyed reading it, but I don't think you were writing for my demographic when you wrote the book.
No, I mean, I think lots of different people could enjoy it. I think that mostly women will enjoy it, although I know a few men, including yourself, who've enjoyed it. Most of them have said that they wouldn't pick it up themselves, but maybe if they were given it, then they would have a flick through. I think that age group-wise, I would definitely say only older teenagers or adults. And I think because the main character is an 18-year-old woman, it could appeal to 18-year-olds. It could also appeal to older women who would like to look back on that stage of their life and are quite nostalgic for it. So I've had, for up until now, I've had advanced reviewers reading it of all ages and both sexes from all over the world, and everybody... And also non-hockey players have read it and said that they found it really exciting. And I think the fact that the hockey is played at the Olympics appeals to lots of people, because the Olympics is generally a very exciting event for hockey players and non-hockey players. So yeah, huge target audience.
No, it is. I mentioned to you before we came on that my daughter reminds me, or Pip, some of the things she says reminds me of a lot of some of the things my daughter would say to me. And I think that sort of age group, the book itself reminded me of Rumblefish and The Outsiders. I read them at school as a teenager, but they're not the same books, but there's a spirit that runs through both that are very similar.
Yeah, I mean, it's a coming of age story. It's got emotions in it that you will remember from that time of your life, which was a really exciting time of your life. There were new adventures, there was leaving home, it was frightening, it was very daunting, but it was a very cool time to be independent in your life. And those books that you mentioned are the classic coming of age stories, and this one is a new coming of age story.
Oh, I did really enjoy it. I mean, some of the language might be a bit fruity for some people, but I think the concepts are just classic concepts that people of that age group are going through. And, you know, it's almost Romeo and Juliet, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a love story unless you have a something in the way of the love. So, it's got lots of really... really exciting things about their age, about the fear that you have, and the way that you're basically, a lot of people just don't have very much confidence about themselves. It's great.
Now, one of the things that interested me as I was reading it was, I'm not sure what the correct technical term is, but the physical presentation of the text, and in the sense, some of it's written very much in a prose style. Some of it reverts to more like as a playwright would write it. Is a focus for you on that sort of presentation? Was there a thought behind that?
Yeah, so the main character, Pip, who is also a little bit of a daydreamer, has these scenes that she daydreams, sometimes talking to people who aren't there and sometimes imagining how situations would unfold. And the way that she does it is with, it's actually with a film screenplay style. Because she lives in her imagination a lot. She's a book reader. She loves watching films and movies. And that's how she portrays her deepest fears or desires in this way. So, yeah, there are, I think, about half a dozen of these film screenplay sections during the book. And I really liked using that because it just gives you an extra dimension to Pip's character, basically. She often can't face up to what's happening right in front of her. And so she sort of regresses back into this daydream. And yeah, that's what I wanted to get across with them.
It's also, is the right term, it's very visually written. It's easy to picture what's happening and what's going on. And I was wondering whether you'd had thoughts on perhaps a screen adaptation.
Yes, I would love to be able to say that I could do that. Maybe that's a project for the future. I would love to see it filmed, obviously. And I think that it would be a great, fun film for people to watch with those Olympic scenes and those hockey scenes. So I could give it a go, or if somebody wants to give it a go, they can contact me and we'll write a screenplay. Why not?
Oh, look, I think it's made for it. It's aching for someone to pick it up and put it in front of television cameras, the way it's written and put up in the form it is. I like it.
Thank you. That would be great.
Now, a bit more about you, FJ. You mentioned you're a social hockey player. Is this from a young age? Are you one of those people like me that picked up a stick when we were really young but could never really play? We just loved the game?
Yeah, I started when I was 10, played school hockey, club hockey, university, took a few breaks for family reasons, and back on the sort of seniors type hockey now, all very, very sociable. And I've moved around a lot, so I've played for lots of clubs in London, England, Germany and Switzerland. So, and the great thing about it is that no matter where you are, hockey players are exactly the same. So you can walk into any club, and you can, even in Switzerland, where hockey is a very minor sport, when you say hockey in Switzerland, then it's ice hockey.
Yeah.
And people can just understand that you're there to have a good time, to run around, to get sweaty, and then have a beer in the bar afterwards. Same all over the world.
You also have a mention of a couple of Australian characters in there. Have you ever been out here? Because your grasp of the grammar is very good.
Is it? Okay, that's good. I know Australian hockey players, and just a handful who I've met who've been playing over in England. And we obviously made some friends when we were over in Sydney. I checked that what I've said was right with them. So, and it's, you know, British people and Australian people have a great link. We all know each other.
Yeah.
We all watched Home and Away and Neighbours when we were growing up. So, you know, I've got plenty of people to ask. I've got a cousin-in-law who's Australian and various other family members. So, yeah.
I think Rack Off You Dag is a classic piece of Australiana, that one.
That's what the younger members of the hockey club in Munich go around saying to each other after they've had an Australian coach for a while. So it's a fun little thing.
But what about you, the author, FJ? Is this your first novel?
It's the first novel that I've published. I have written another one, which is going to be out probably early next year. Which is definitely a young adult one for a little bit of a younger audience than this one. And I've got about 3 or 4 more ideas for books coming up in the future. So there'll be plenty to read if you like this book. And there is one that I thought of maybe as a sequel to No Number 9. And I thought I might set it 12 years later, which is obviously when London 2012 happened. And then you've got Pip, and her friends are all in their 30s, and there are different other things going on there. And there are a couple of younger characters in the book who are now then grown up men, so they could be there causing trouble as well. So I thought I might have a bit of fun with that.
Is this like 7 up, 14 up, 21 up, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I like skipping forward 12 years so that we can really get to the next phase of their lives, I think.
What drew you to writing? Was it something you were doing, you know, as a job previously, or?
No, I've always had different jobs. I always wanted to write when I was younger, but I was a bit, I guess, because I read a lot of different kinds of books, I was a bit overwhelmed by all these amazing writers out there who were winning prizes and selling millions of copies, and I just never thought I could do it. And then I just thought, actually, you know what, I can do it because I don't have to win prizes. I can just write a book that is fun and people read on the beach and they talk about it in the bar. And it doesn't have to be J.K. Rowling. It can be just, you know, me selling a few hundred or thousand copies. So, yeah, I just approached it as a fun thing and found that I was doing well and people were giving me a good response to it. So here it is.
Now, you've self-published this book, have you?
Yes, it's self-published. So the e-copies of it are available on Amazon. And okay. Paperback has been published by a really great publisher in England. So it looks like a really nice, pretty book. It's if you put it up against a mainstream published book in a bookshop, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So it's really great. I'm really proud of it.
And that's available in Great Britain, I take it, or is it about around the world, or?
Yeah, so you can get it all around the world. So as I said, you can get your Kindle copy or your ebook copy from Kobo or Amazon, those two places. That's easy for Australians. Yeah. The paperback copy you would be able to get from Amazon, or Book Depository is another one, and they will obviously send it around the world. So it is possible for Australians to buy the paperback. And it can be obviously sent via Amazon to pretty much every country of the world, I think.
Okay, so if people want the book, the thing to do is go to Amazon, type in No Number 9 into the search, and up she'll come.
That's right.
Oh, that's excellent, FJ.
Big purple book.
I've got the electronic copy, and I'm going to print it out when I've got some more money for the printer cartridge. I need to replace it. So it's not a small book. It's quite it's not a difficult read, but it's a book that you've got to read the words to. You can't just skim through it, I wouldn't suggest.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, it's not intellectual at all. It's not going to cause you any problems. I've had friends who say that they have literally read it in 2 days. It's a page turner. It's something that they couldn't put down. They chased their children away when they tried to come and say, "Mom, I want food, I'm hungry." And it is pretty gripping, I think. When you get towards the end of it, you just feel like you really, really, really need to carry on reading it. But it's a fun, it really is just a fun book. In Europe, I'm going to say buy it for the summer holidays. Obviously, you guys don't have your summer now. I think it's really easy to read. I think people could have a lot of fun reading it.
Oh, look, and I thoroughly recommend anybody who supports hockey reads it as well. It's we don't have a lot of enough of these sorts of things within our culture, I don't think.
No, I mean, that was kind of how you and I first communicated, yeah. Because you wrote something on the reverse stick about, I think it was about movies, wasn't it, specifically?
Yeah.
No, there's not a lot. I mean, there's a lot of old-fashioned stuff. You've got your kind of Enid Blyton and your St. Trinians. and then what else have we got? And I just think there are a whole load of hockey players all around the world that would just love reading this, because then they can appreciate how their sport is portrayed. And, you know, we're nice people. We're fun people. And we have an exciting times for every 4 years at the Olympics and every 2 years at the World Cup. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think we've got to embrace more the culture that we have. We've never really truly recognised it enough, in my opinion. But that's all in the future. Hopefully we'll get there one day. Have you got any ideas for a hockey movie, just quietly?
To make this into a hockey movie?
Oh, no, any hockey movie in particular. Just have we got a story out there we could just suddenly thrust up as a movie? I'm not sure that we have.
No, I don't know, really. No, not sure.
It's a discussion for another time, FJ. Yeah. Look, thank you very much for joining us today. It is a fabulous read. Get on to Amazon and buy the book. Get on, what was Kindle and Nobo, is it?
Kobo.
Yeah. Okay, and you can download the copy on the computer. You can order the hard copy and keep it in your bookshelf. In fact, I might do that in the future. Probably cost me less to buy the hardback copy or the paperback copy than buy a new printer cartridge, so I think it might be the way to go.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much again, FJ, and good luck with the future, and I look forward to the next book as well.
Thank you very much, John.